Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? My name is Holly, and I am the Connections Pastor here, and it is my joy and honor to continue in our series called In the Zone, as we're looking at the doors that living a life led by the Spirit unlocks. So we talked about surrender, we talked about compassion, and we're talking most recently about desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what that is to look like. Pastor taught last week about the list of gifts that's found in Romans chapter 12. You might have remembered those motivational gifts. And today we're going to look at the group of listings in Ephesians chapter 4. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, Scripture says that we should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Do you remember being a kid and coming to a birthday or a Christmas and knowing one of the gifts that was coming your way? None of you peeked? None of you? All right, so thank you, Kara, for your honesty. Appreciate you. But knowing what was coming, what was under that tree, what was going to be next to your cake, and eagerly desiring that gift, being so excited to receive that gift. Well, I remember one of the gifts I was most excited about. I was not a small child. I was 20. When I was 20 years old, I asked my parents for a DSLR camera. It was too expensive, so they said, you have to submit matching funds in order to get this gift. So I knew it was coming, and I was so excited. And I remember on my 20th birthday, sitting in my parents' living room and unwrapping the Canon Rebel XS. And I was a photographer. Because anyone with a DSLR camera is a photographer these days. And so I became that annoying girl in college who always had my camera with me. I didn't know what I was doing. It was always on automatic because then the camera does all the work for you. And I was always taking pictures of everything. And I would post them on the internet. And I'm just reminded, thanks to Facebook and how it says, like, on this day 8 years ago, what a terrible photographer I actually was. But because I took that gifting and I used it on the regular, I sharpened that gift. Now, when I shoot photographs, I know how to shoot on manual. I know about aperture and f-stops and white balance and how to do all of those things. Because when I received that gift, I didn't just leave it in the box. Now, if I had taken that camera out and I looked at my very first photo, which was probably out of focus and underexposed, I probably would have gone, this isn't for me, and just maybe put it back on the shelf. But I was waiting anxiously for that gift, and when I received it, I was excited, and I recognized that I wanted to use it all of the time. And as I used that gifting, I got better at that gifting, and now my photographs turn out much more beautifully than they did 8 years ago when I was 20 years old unwrapping my first camera. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we're to eagerly desire them and use them to build up and edify the church. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are meant to do. They're meant to build us together and make us better and stronger as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now, some people don't. And a lot of it comes because they don't know about it. But 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know what's going on with them. They're meant to be a gift to the church to build and edify. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church body that is moving to be more like Christ all the time, that's being edified in our faith, that's challenging each other, that's moving in the gifts of the Spirit so we can be the kind of church that the Lord desires. Amen? Amen. So we don't want to not know about them. So last week, Pastor talked about the motivational gifts. Do you remember those? Yes. You're saying yes. Does anyone know one of them? Encouragement. That's Tommy. His is encouragement. That's why he knows it right off the top of his head. Encouragement. Prophecy. Teaching. Serving. Giving. Leadership. Serving, I think we hit all of them now. Mercy, yeah. So these are the motivational gifts. And Pastor explained that they're kind of like the glasses that we put on. They're the way that we see the world around us. Do you remember the analogy he had said, there's a cake plate and it gets knocked over and it breaks. What is your first response? The server will get down and start cleaning it up. The giver might run out to the store and be like, it's okay, I can go get a new cake. There was all these different ways that we are motivated, the way that we see the world around us. But Ephesians 4 has the ministry gifts. And the question is, not last week was, how do I see the world around me? How do I interpret the world? What lens do I use? And today we're going to talk about how do we minister to people. Because each and every one of us has a personal ministry that we are called to. It's easy to look at vocational ministers, pastors, and go, these are the ones that are gifted for the ministry. But if every pastor in Sarasota was operating at their maximum capacity, do you know what? We would still have people who were lost and on their way to hell. Because the church, the entirety of the church, needs to be fulfilling the ministry that God has called you to on an individual, personal level. Ephesians 4, verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, it's talking about the grace given, and then it says God has given gifts. Each one of us. Are you part of the each one of us? Yes, you are. You are a part of the each one of us. But then in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, to some he gave as apostles, to some he gave as pastors, to some he gave as prophets. So some people read that and they go, okay, I'm not part of the sum, so I don't have any ministry. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The church has different purposes. We exist to glorify God. We want to reach out to people. We want to accept others and bring them into community. We want them to be committing to Christ, and we want to be equipping the saints for service. Those are the purposes of the church. And different ministry giftings serve those different purposes. And we are all called to live out those purposes, which means we all need to recognize what our personal ministry gifting is and operate in that. Now, you might see Pastor Tommy, who is my husband. He was just up here. He's very cute. He is. He is an evangelist. He is an evangelist to like the nth degree. He loves reaching people, and that's what motivates him. That's what he's passionate about. That's what he does at every opportunity. So when we're in the checkout line at Walmart, he says, how can I pray for you? I try to pray for someone every day. Because he's looking for a conversation that can lead people who are far away from Christ into the body of Christ. That's what he does as a minister. And he doesn't just do it when he's on the stage here. He does it in the community, because that's where really evangelists operate the best. They're in the community to reach people who are far away and bring them close to God. Now, there are some people who hear those stories about Tommy, and it resonates with them. They're like, that is the way to do ministry, right there. I appreciate that. That's heart of the evangelist. That's where it is at. And there is a good chance, if that's what resonates with you, if that's what inspires you, there's a good chance that there is a ministry gifting in your life for evangelism. Now, there are some people who come on Wednesday nights as Pastor teaches verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the books of the Bible. He does this expositional teaching every Wednesday. We'd love you to come be a part of it. But there are some people who go, that is the way to do ministry. Right there, that teaching, that is what the church needs. It needs teachers who are going to teach the word verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That resonates with you. There's a chance then that your ministry gifting is teaching. Something comes alive in you when you see someone operate like that, because it's the ministry gifting you have inside of you. Now listen, we need both evangelists and we need teachers. And we have to recognize and appreciate when someone's gifting is different than ours, they are serving a different purpose of the church. And that's good. We need to be united in our ministry giftings so that we can accomplish all of the purposes of the church. Now, I told you my husband is the evangelist, and there was one time we were sitting in a meeting for our young adults, and we always want to be working to get better. We should all be wanting to work to get better. So we were going, what are some of our holes? What are some of the things that we're not doing so hot? And we knew that Tommy really had a burden for when people come in, that if they don't feel like they have a friend, if they don't feel like they're connecting, if they don't feel like they have a reason to come back, that they're not going to come back. He goes, we need to work on when people walk through the door, making them feel at home, being better at hospitality, and helping them assimilate into the service so that they can hear the word of God and make a decision for Christ. Because that is the heart of an evangelist. We also knew that we needed to work on discipleship. We also knew we needed to work on that. So we had these two objectives, and there was someone who was sitting in our group that was so offended that we could ever consider anything more important than discipleship. And it wasn't that we were considering it more important than discipleship. We were just saying these are both two purposes of the church that we need to work on getting better at. But they couldn't see the value in the gifting that wasn't their own. And we have to recognize and appreciate people's giftings that are different than ours. If all we do is evangelism, we will have a bunch of baby Christians who don't know the Word of God, who aren't living the Word of God, and that are not going to find their calling, their purpose, their ministry, and grow the church. If all we're doing is discipleship, we are never going to reach the people in our community that are lost and on their way to hell. We need every ministry in this listing. And we need to know what resonates with us and how we minister to people. Because there are people that will be in your life that will never come into this house or any church, but God's entrusted them to you, and it's up to you to be the minister to them. And sometimes we don't value our ministry gifting, so we don't use it. But church, we are called to understand it and then live out and be obedient in what God has gifted us to do. Because I think we can all say that we want people to know Christ, to have that heart change. We want to worship God well. We want to be building strong Christians. We want that. And if that's what we want, we have to be a part of making that happen. So in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a list of ministry giftings that we're going to go through. So the first one is the apostolic leadership ministry. The word apostle means to be sent. It means to be sent. And there are some people who the only apostles that they recognize are the 12 disciples. They say the 12 disciples, that's it. Well, there were also apostles like Barnabas and Judas and the apostle Paul, who was a big part of writing the rest of the New Testament. Those were apostles. And they were sent into new areas of ministry. And if you believe that apostles aren't for today, look at the leadership that they utilized. Because there are still unreached people groups in the world that need someone who is going to be sent, that is going to start something new, that's going to do something that's groundbreaking, that's entrepreneurial, so that we can see people come to know Jesus. Because that is what it's about. Pastor Scott and Darla right now are serving in Uganda, Africa with some dear ministry friends, Gary and Marilyn Skinner. Because in the 90s, they saw a need in the continent of Africa. AIDS was absolutely destroying that whole continent. And in particular, Uganda was seriously affected. And it was leaving all of these AIDS orphans uncared for, unprotected. And the Holy Spirit gave them a passion and a ministry to take those children off of the streets and to care for them. And their ministry was they would take the most vulnerable in the society, the widows. They would redeem them, who are most marginalized in society. They would take AIDS orphans and bring them into a home where this widow would care for them, not waiting for them to be adopted out, but they would care for them. They would raise them. They would make a new family. The kids would be educated. They would go to church. They would even go all the way up through trade schools and college. And then they're assimilating back into the nation of Uganda, becoming the next generation of leaders that are changing a nation for Jesus Christ. Right now, in Uganda, Watoto cares for over 2,000 orphans. And they're not orphans anymore because they've adopted them in. They have been received into new families, and they are raising mighty men and women of God for the passion of Jesus Christ that he's put on their lives. That's apostolic leadership to me, where they go, they pioneered, and something incredible is happening for the kingdom of God. And we need people who have that. We need people who minister in that gifting. And oftentimes that apostolic ministry can take on the other character traits. You have the Apostle Paul, and you had Barnabas. And if you look at their motivations, we talked about from the gifts in Romans 12, Barnabas was encouraging. He was an encouraging apostle. Paul was a teaching apostle. But he also operated in other giftings as he needed to in that starting of a new work. There was times where Paul had to be prophetic to a church. There was times where he had to be teaching. There was times he had to be the evangelist. And he had to operate in more than one gifting to accomplish the new work that God was trying to start in and through him. And that really pushed the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. The second ministry gifting is the prophetic ministry. These are people that listen to God's heart and speak. Their ministry is getting the right people in the right place at the right time. And often, it's not an easy ministry to work in. And sometimes there is an apprehension towards some of these ministry giftings, towards the prophetic, towards the evangelist, because you've seen titles applied to people that are not moving with the right motivation. And what I mean by that is you can say, someone says, hey, I'm prophet so-and-so, and this is what the Lord is saying, and their motivation isn't to build the kingdom of God, it's to build a bank account. Or their motivation is not giving glory to God, it's self-promoting. And the Holy Spirit, as we're all called to be led by, as in Ephesians 5 says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, is to help us discern out when there's something that is not of God. When there's something that's not, that just doesn't sit right in your spirit. Because there are people who have taken the gifts of the Spirit and have not Spirit-inspired, but have used them to be self-promoting, and that is never, never, ever, never, never, ever, never, ever a move of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always going to bring glory to God and God alone. So if a spiritual gifting is having your eyes be put on a person and not the Savior, it's not a spiritual gifting. And just know that, church. Because some people have an apprehension to it because they've seen the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit abused by people who are claiming to be Spirit-led and that are not. So it's important that in our walk with the Lord that we're in step with the Holy Spirit and we can go, you know what, that's not bringing glory to God. That's not a gift of the Spirit that is putting eyes on Jesus, which is what it does. The prophet, though, often has to deliver not the kindest word. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised of hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Because sometimes someone who works in a prophetic ministry and listens to the heart of God has words for the church that are not easy to be heard. And so sometimes it's difficult to step out in this gifting because it's not the easiest thing to do. But we need people who are going to listen to the heart of God. They're going to spend time listening, reading the word, knowing the voice of the Spirit, and then being willing to bring correction where it's needed in the church. The third gift is the gift of evangelism, the evangelistic ministry. These are the people that are so passionate and energized about moving people who are far away from God into the family. Like I told you, my husband is incredibly gifted in the evangelistic ministry. Incredibly so. I am gifted in the ministry of shopping. So when I go shopping, my husband will stay in the car, and then his gifting is to not chastise me for coming out with more bags than I should have. Just teasing. We were shopping. I was in Orlando. I was shopping for my sister's wedding. And he was sitting in the car reading his Bible because he's very just cute and holy. But the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you need to go speak to this girl. She was in her car. She was alone. And he said, Holy Spirit, you sure about that? I am a man alone in a parking lot, and you want me to approach a woman in her car and tell her that I have something to say to her on behalf of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go, so he did it. He was obedient. He went over to her, knocked on her window, and said, hi, my name's Tommy, and I feel like the Holy Spirit has something that he wants me to say to you. And she was so moved, and he was so dead on in what he said to her. She said, I am struggling. I know that I need something in my life. And Tommy was able to say, you need Jesus. The evangelist is that person who is willing to do things that even make them look foolish for the sake of bringing one more to the kingdom of God. He said, here's my contact information. If you ever have any more questions, we can be friends on Facebook. So she's written him, and she goes, well, what about this? And I'm thinking this, and I'm feeling this. And he's going, the word of God says this, and this is who Jesus is. And that is the work of an evangelist. And you see that in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 30. a little more context. Philip is told by the Spirit that he needs to go and approach the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, so Philip ran to him, and hearing Isaiah the prophet, he asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began to read the scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. That's Tommy. Chasing down a car, chasing down a chariot, saying, hey, God wants to say something to you. That's the work of the evangelist. And it is so necessary and crucial. And sometimes when this is your gifting, when that resonates with you, when Tommy's up here and he's telling a story, and you're like, yeah, I wish I could do that. But it's not my gifting. It's not my ministry. I really wish it could be, but I tried it and I failed. I tried it and it wasn't good. No one came to know Jesus. That would be like if on my first try with my camera, when it came out unfocused and underexposed, I just put it away and said, well, I gave it a good old college try. See, because when you hear someone on the stage, they're telling you the glory stories. They're telling you about when the Holy Spirit intervened and they had a word from God and they knew exactly what was going on and it was incredible and everybody got saved and everybody got healed and it was just amazing. But you know what you don't hear? The failures, the rejection. And guess what? It happens. The more Tommy steps out in this gifting, in this ministry, the more successes he has, but the more failures he has as well. Amen. It's true. A couple weeks ago, Tommy texts all of the people who are new to the Summit, which is our young adults ministry. So he texts this guy, Ian, and he's like, hey, Ian, so excited to have you. Is there anything I can be praying for you about? And he got a text back that said, pray you receive Ian's right phone number because this ain't it. So Tommy, being the evangelist on opportunity to reach him, he's like, maybe the Lord gave me this wrong number and I can reach it. I can say, so he goes, hey, yeah, sorry about that. I'll get his right number. But is there anything I can be praying for you for? And they said, no, go away. Those aren't the stories that you typically hear on the platform. But you know what? If you have a gifting, if you have a ministry, you have that calling, and you feel like you tried it and you weren't successful, keep trying it. Keep being obedient. You never know where a seed is planted and when it's going to be watered and when it's going to start bearing fruit. You can't always see the whole picture. You just have to be obedient in the things that God has called you to do. Even if you think, you go, I'm not one of the sum that's like leading leaders over here. I'm just me. I'm just sitting in my chair. I just kind of have this kind of resonation when they talk about that ministry that really gets me excited, but it's excited for someone else. You need to be faithful in stepping out in the giftings that God has given you. Because there are people that only you can reach. And we pray that fake Ian one day will come to know the Lord. Tommy was faithful in doing what he could. So he just, prays over the phone number. We don't even know the guy's real name. Let's call him fake Ian and know his number. And keep asking God to do something. Because it's important. The pastoral ministry, these are the people that are passionate about connecting and caring. They want to lead and feed the flock. They want to make sure that people are whole and healthy. They're the caregivers. They're the ones that see needs and are moved to do something about it. This morning, Sweet Sue, who I love very much, she's having a rough moment. She was having a rough moment. She recently lost her husband, and it just hit her like a wave. And she just needed someone to stop. And I've worn a whole lot of hats this morning. If you had kids' church, you saw me checking in at kids' church. We were running sound. We did a meeting over there. We're wearing a lot of hats this morning. And I'm very easy to like get doing all the tasks. That's who I am. I'm a task person. But I also have this gifting right here that goes, hey, you need to stop. You need to hold this sweet little lady. You need to pray for her and have a moment that cares about the needs. That's the pastor's heart, where you care for people, where you see their needs and you want to do something about it. If you're passionate about connecting, if you have this ministry, at the very least, start a small group. Start pastoring on that level. people sometimes go, well, the people who are the pastors, they're vocational. They get paychecks. I did not become a pastor when I graduated college and got a theology degree or when someone put a microphone in my hand. I became a pastor when in the eighth grade, I looked around at my friends and thought, all of them are on their way to hell and I need to do something about it. So I said, hey, come to my house. We're going to make brownies. We did. And then I opened the Bible and I was like, this is Jesus. You need to know him. Because I had that need, I could see their needs and I wanted to help them and I knew that the only thing that was going to help them was Jesus. And I was faithful with that little group of eight girls in the eighth grade. And then as I was faithful, the Bible says when you're faithful with little, then you can be trusted with much. And it grew and grew and grew. And all of a sudden, I went from one who just says, I'm just one of us, to maybe some of the some. And I'm a leader of leaders now. Because I was faithful with the little. And sometimes we have to step out and be obedient in that. Then the last gifting is the teaching ministry. These are the people that want to impart knowledge, often passionate about teaching the Bible expositionally. And church, we need teachers because our nation is becoming increasingly biblically illiterate. We need people who can impart knowledge to the next generation. If you have a passion, if you have a gifting for teaching, talk to me because I have a passion for empowering teachers because it is so necessary. I do our inner city kids outreach program. And a couple years ago, it was Easter. And I had a group of 75 kids in our community in Sarasota, not halfway across the world that didn't know about Jesus. These are kids in our city. And I asked, who knows why we celebrate Easter? And not one single child in our backyard knew that Easter was about the resurrection of Jesus. They said family, the Easter bunny, candy, eggs. Not one of them. We need teachers who are going to open the Word of God and bring it forth with boldness. Because we need a generation that's not afraid of what this word says. Because it is powerful. Oftentimes, teachers and pastors are combined in the giftings. But there are some pastors who have the pastoral care down, and they can't teach worth a lick. Pastor Scott told me a story this week that there was a pastor, and he had grown this huge church. But he couldn't teach. He would print other people's messages off the internet. But he grew his church because he was always in people's homes. He was at every hospital visit. He was cheering on kids at their soccer games. He had that pastor's heart of connecting and caring. He was reading his message one Sunday that he had printed off the internet. And he's reading his da-da-da-da-da. I don't believe that. Could you even imagine? But teachers are so necessary. We need people who are going to teach the Word of God, that have that gifting, that are going to use it. There's a parable called the parable of the sower. Or the parable of the talents, rather. They sow the talents, sorry. And they go in, and a master gives to one 5 talents. To another, he gives 2. To another, he gives 1. And then he goes away on a long journey. And he comes back. And he says, what did you do with what I gave you? And the guy who had 5 talents had turned it into 10. The guy who was given 2 had turned it into 4. And the guy who was given 1 had buried it. And he said, Master, I knew you were a harsh master. You reap where you have not sown, and I was afraid, so I buried it. And the master wasn't pleased. The master wasn't pleased with him. And there's some verbiage in the beginning of this story. And it says that the master gave each of them as they were able, to their ability. Which means that the person who was given 5 talents was the most equipped. They were the most able. Then you have the person who had 2 talents. They were like a medium level of ability, being equipped. Then you have this guy who has 1 talent. The master has given as they were able, which means he knew He had the least ability. And sometimes when we feel like we have the least ability, the little that we have, we devalue and we don't do anything with it. Because we go, I'm the least able. I'm not equipped to do anything with what I have. But when the master came back and he checked in with each servant, when he came to the guy who only had one talent, he still expected him to have done something with it. And I'm so thankful that in this parable there's the character who has two talents. Because clearly he had less than the five-talent person. He wasn't as equipped. He wasn't as able. And the Lord didn't say to him, look over there. See that guy? Now I have 10 talents because of him. You only got two more? That's all you did? No, the Lord is pleased that he did what he could with what he had. Sometimes we get caught up in comparison. And because our ministry or our gifting doesn't look like somebody else's, we go, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to bury it and sit on it. And it was true. He was the least able, but he still had something. And the story says, he who is faithful with little will be given much. So you might be starting with just one talent and going, God, what on earth can you do with this? But we serve a God who takes the most unlikely things, the things that the world would reject, say have no value, have no worth, can't do anything with that, and he turns them into miracles. Moses' staff that parted the sea. The little boy's lunch, the little loaves and fishes that fed a multitude. A couple of beams and a crown of thorns that saved the whole world. Do not despise the little that you have, because when you give it to the Lord, the little you have can turn into something miraculous. We are all going to one day give account for our lives. And I am living for the words where Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. And whether you are faithful with one talent or five or two, live for those words. Know the ministry that God has called you to, that he's created inside of you. And live that out faithfully for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? If you're a part of the prayer team or you're serving communion, I'd invite you to join us now. And church, we're going to close our eyes and turn our attention to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to pray a prayer together because you never know when it's someone's first time, when there's a moment of decision that could be made. So we're going to pray a prayer together. And church, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Help me to live for Jesus every day of my life. Now, before we finish this prayer, look this way. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, if it meant something to you, we would encourage you to come forward, tell one of our prayer partners. We just want to pray with you and celebrate what God's doing in your heart and in your life. If you are a first-time guest, we have a VIP lounge at the back of the sanctuary. We'd love for you to stop by. We have a gift we want to give you, answer any questions you might have, and help you to connect to the church further. And if this is your church home, if this is, you know, where you fit in, we're so glad you're here this morning. But I just want to challenge you. For a moment, whether at your seat or at the altar, take a minute and pray and ask the Lord to open your heart and your eyes to the ministry gifting that he has given you. And then pray for opportunities to use it for the glory of God, to accomplish the purpose of the church, to see people saved and set free, discipled and sent into ministry themselves. So we're going to pray one last prayer, and then the altars are going to open, communion tables will open, and the worship team will lead us for a little bit. So, Father, we love you so very much. God, I thank you for how intentional you are in creating humanity. God, I thank you for every gifting that's in this room. Father, and I truly pray that every single person would hear the voice of the Spirit that's calling them out in what God has created them to do. And that, Lord, that the church would be edified, would be built, would be expanded in Jesus' name as we are obedient to do what you have called us to do. Father, I pray against fear. Like the guy with one talent who buried his talent out of fear. I pray against the enemy's voice that would say, you're not enough. You can't. I pray for the voice of the Spirit, the voice of God who created each and every one of us to be the loudest voice in the room in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come forward for prayer, come forward for communion.